Broncos football for you Saturday. Preseason game number 3 against the Rams. 6 o'clock pregame right here on KFBC. Joining us on the phone, Benjamin Albright, CBS Sports Radio, Mile High Sports Radio, down in Denver, joining us here on the program. Benjamin, it is a pleasure to have you on the show. How's it going today?
Outstanding, brother, and appreciate you guys having me.
Hey, not a problem. So let's dive right into it, because this Broncos quarterback situation and competition is pretty fascinating to me. It seems like Trevor Siemian's got the inside track to this thing. What's it going to take for either one of these three to move on up and get that starting spot against Carolina?
Well, let's start at the bottom and work our way up here. You know, you look at Paxton Lynch. He has all the tools in the world. He's definitely the most physically gifted of the three. But Terry Kubiak has repeatedly expressed that he's number three in the quarterback race, and that, you know, he's a guy who's just behind in the playbook. It's been a learning process for him. It's been something that's taken him a little while to get up to speed on. He's just not there. Just doesn't quite comprehend the playbook yet enough to be the starter. I would expect him to be the starter sooner rather than later, but at this point, he's just not the guy. And then you look at the other two. You got Trevor Siemian, second year out of Northwestern, late round draft pick. He's a limited tools guy and looks to make the safe throw, lower velocity thrower than Mark Sanchez, but he's been safer and not turned the ball over as much this preseason. You go back and look at the All-22, though, and he misses open receivers deep, just trying to take the dink and dunk stuff and be safe with the football. And then, of course, you know, you got Mark Sanchez, and Mark Sanchez is Mark Sanchez. You know what you're getting with that. He's the only one who has taken a meaningful snap in the NFL. Trevor Siemian, of course, took a kneel down last year, so that's the only snap he's ever taken. The problem with Sanchez here, though, is also a business decision. With him and Siemian running so close to each other in this competition, does it make sense to pay Mark Sanchez $3.5 million in cash, $4.5 million if you keep him, $3.5 million in savings if you cut him, and give up a 6-round draft pick to the Philadelphia Eagles just to keep a guy who barely edged out Trevor Siemian? So this may come down to a financial incentive over actual talent when all is said and done.
You know, it seems like the Broncos are really getting themselves into, you know, between a rock and a hard place for this season, in that Sanchez, okay, he had some good years, you know, early on. He's not been very good lately. You're right. We've talked about this on our show about do they even keep Sanchez if Siemian is a starter? But they don't really have Siemian, who has, as you said, all the tools. And Paxton Lynch has got to be the guy of the future, you know, but he's probably a year or two away from being in that position. The Broncos kind of got themselves between a rock and a hard place. And where do they go for a starter this year?
Well, yeah, that is the thing. Paxton, like I said, Paxton will probably get some snaps down the line this year once all the playbook clicks, because he certainly has the best football IQ and the best tools of the three. But, you know, the Broncos were left in kind of a lurch. They had looked to try to get rid of Peyton Manning last year, and that looked to be a fortuitous, as we saw Peyton's season last year was not great, plus he had the injury on top of it. They were trying to go with Brock Osweiler. Then they yanked Brock Osweiler in that Chargers game to end the season after C.J. Anderson fumbled the football in the regular season, and Brock didn't take that too well. So he ended up going ahead and quit taking the Broncos' calls and signed with the Houston Texans, somewhat out of spite. And so the Broncos' quarterback plans, the succession plan they laid in place for the last 4 years, was suddenly out the window.
I know this is, you know, kind of a hypothetical, but how much better would this position be? I mean, with Brock Osweiler in place, had he decided to stick around, had the Broncos decided to pay what Brock Osweiler was looking for, would they be in a much better situation than they are now with a small sample size, as we saw from Brock?
I don't know about much better, but certainly better. I mean, you look at what Brock had last year, 7 starts. He had 2 fourth-quarter comeback wins against playoff teams, both Cincinnati and New England. He's a competent quarterback. While I wouldn't call him an upper-tier quarterback in the NFL, he's certainly in that middle tier. Maybe, you know, if you were doing a ranking 1 through 32, you'd put him somewhere between 12 and 18. And I think that's certainly better than any of the three they have right now at this juncture. Now, Paxton Lynch looks to be a guy who could be a star in the making, but in the short term, I would say they'd be better off with Brock. In the long term, I think they're going to be better off with Paxton Lynch.
I saw C.J. Anderson have a quote saying there's just something about Trevor. If you ask the players who they'd like, and I know they wouldn't actually come out and publicly say it, who do you think they would be gunning for as the starter against Carolina?
Well, I'm down there and I've talked to some of them. Privately, the most of the receiving corps will tell you they like Mark Sanchez. The running backs and the and the linemen have a better affinity with Trevor Siemian. There's no schism in the locker room with that. It's just private preferences that each one group seems to have. So, Simeon's a young kid and can relate to him in different ways. Sanchez came in and did all the right things as a veteran, taking each of the groups out to dinner, having extra throwing sessions, going to see them at their residences in the off season. So both of them have laid the groundwork as a leader. And you know, Paxton's a bit of a different cat. He's a little bit of a goofy kid, but he's kind of got his own thing as well. And I think all three are respected, and all three will definitely get 100% from the team.
I guess the big question that everybody's on their mind as they look at these three guys, but the overriding question is, last year the Broncos got all the way to the Super Bowl and won it. And I would have to say, at best, the quarterback play when Peyton Manning wasn't doing well early was god-awful. And then, Brock Osweiler did, a journeyman-like job, or at least, an okay job. And then when Peyton even came back at the end of the year, the offense didn't win a lot of games. I mean, the Super Bowl, if you go back and look at it, the defense won that game. Everybody admits that. I guess the overriding question is, with any one of these three guys at quarterback, is the Bronco defense good enough again this year to carry them like they did last year and at least get to the playoffs, if not the Super Bowl?
Well, the feeling here in Denver is yes, and the feeling among the coaching staff and in the Broncos is definitely yes. They feel that they only have to get middling play out of the quarterback, just not turn it over. They're hoping to get production that's just a little bit better, or if not the same as last year, simply with fewer turnovers. You look at Peyton Manning last year, of course, the 9 starts, something like 10 touchdowns to almost 18 interceptions, which is ridiculous, and they're hoping that they can just get fewer turnovers, keep the defense off the field a little bit longer, have better play, but they think the defense is going to be better this year. Danny Trevathan is being replaced by Todd Davis, and I got to be honest with you, Todd Davis has looked better than Danny Trevathan ever did at middle linebacker. They also lost Malik Jackson. That's going to be a tough one. Vance Walker went down with an injury, but they've got Jared Crick there, who's been serviceable. And then, of course, the Talib and Ware injuries, a little bit shaky, but they've got youth back there. It's pretty good as well. They think the defense is going to be better.
Is Talib, what is his status here? I mean, is he going to be suspended at any point this season in your mind?
Well, the rumor is yes, and the rumor is a rather lengthy one, but that has yet to come about. Basically, the problem here is that everyone involved in the situation is keeping their mouth shut. The problem here is that down in Texas, because of the situation, Talib was facing a minimum 2-year sentence, for the firearms infraction because of what went on. So instead, they're just all clamming up, hoping the legal will go away and they can just take the NFL 10-game suspension and then not have to go away for 2 years.
Benjamin Albright, our guest here in the Sports Zone. Give me some positives on the offensive line, if there are any, with the starters, Benjamin. What's this line shaping up to look like? Because you're only as good as your weakest link. I don't know, quarterback, offensive line, where are they sitting right there along that offensive front?
Well, the left side of the line looks pretty solid. Russell Okung has looked very good this preseason. Max Garcia is another guy who's looked pretty good this season. Matt Paradis was a revelation last year, really the only person on the offensive line of any, I don't want to say substance, but of any staying power in the NFL, and he'll be back for year two as the starting center this year. I think he's a future All-Pro at center. Right side of the line, a little more shaky. I'm trying to figure out who's going to fill in that right guard spot, whether it's going to be Tyson Braille, one of the other guys, moved over from tackle. And then Donald Stevenson, the veteran swing tackle and guard, she's kind of man on that right tackle spot. They're a little shaky on the right side of the line, but the left side looks pretty solid.
How are they going to work out the reps for the quarterbacks on Saturday? You read a lot of things, you see a lot of things. Are they all going to get chances with the number one guys, seeing that, typically in the third preseason game you got number ones going into the second half?
Well, no, they're trying to get the opening day starter audition thing kind of done. Paxton will get his chance later on, but I don't think he's going to get too many snaps with the ones coming up. They're looking to go a quarter with Siemian and a quarter with Sanchez, and then kind of feel it out from there. Trevor Siemian is going to start the game at the number one, although he's had a banged up shoulder when he threw the pick six last week, trying to make the tackle. His shoulder's been sore ever since. He's been limited all week, so I don't know how he's going to look. And this thing's far from over. Sanchez could win this thing on Saturday. Siemian could win it on Saturday. We'll see. That's a tough Rams defense, and one of these guys is really going to have to step up and cement it in that game.
Benjamin, I get a couple other things, because I know you do a lot of work around the NFL as well. A lot to be made about what Dak Prescott has done in Dallas as the backup to Tony Romo in this preseason. He's getting a lot of play, and people are really making a big deal about him. Is that good news if you're a Cowboys fan to see him performing well, or is that just him going up against scrubs, so to speak, in the preseason?
I think it's a combination of the two. You know, Dak wasn't a guy that I was as high on coming out of college. Comes out of a variant of that Urban Meyer offense down there. Dan Mullen runs some similar concepts to Urban Meyer, and those quarterbacks typically have not panned out well in the NFL. Alex Smith is the most successful example of a quarterback out of that offense to do anything in the NFL. The flip side of that is he's done everything that's been asked of him this preseason. Yes, it's been against mostly future insurance salesmen. Yes, it's been a bunch of boot action, check down, swing pass type stuff. But he has had a couple of deep throws and really shown something on those. I think that I wouldn't be anointing him after two preseason games, but there's certainly a bright spot down there and something to hope for.
You really think those guys are going to be insurance salesmen? I always thought of them probably as the bag boys at the supermarket.
Ooh, that's rough. That's rough, Monty.
Warner was a bag boy, I know, at Hy-Vee.
I know.
I was referring more to Danny Werfel, who became an insurance salesman after. So
they go away to be, they don't have a chance to come back.
Yeah.
Benjamin, who looks worse in this Joey Bosa San Diego Chargers deal?
I guess it depends on who you ask.
Right.
Personally, I get it from a business standpoint. I get what the Chargers are trying to do. Chargers are also a cash-strapped franchise. People don't realize that when you guarantee money to a player, that money has to immediately go into escrow. So that has to come out of the cash reserves the team has and be paid out almost immediately. The Chargers just don't have the cash for it. Now, asking for additional offset language is a bit odd for a top-five draft pick. Typically, they do one or the other, salary bonus deferment or offset language. They're trying to do both here. No top-five players ever signed a contract like that. But the Chargers also have a protracted history of tough negotiations with the first-round draft picks. I think the Chargers look a little cheap in this overall, but I get it from a business perspective.
Now, the situation, if I know the NFL, if he sits out the whole year, he becomes a free agent and can negotiate with anybody, right?
No, not actually. His rights would revert back to the draft, and then draft him.
So he'd have to go back and get drafted again.
Yes, he would have to go back to get drafted, just like Bo Jackson.
Okay. Very good. Hey, Benjamin, outstanding stuff. We do appreciate it so much. Keep up the good work. Again, great follow on Twitter as well if you want to follow Benjamin Albright. Thank you so much for joining us on the program. Thank you again.
Anytime, guys, anytime.
All right.